252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Three U.S. citizens confirmed among the more than 12,000 victims of the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria. ABC's Ian Pannell says rescuers still hoping to find survivors.
As another freezing night sets in, hopes are fading tonight of finding many more survivors in the rubble. The most critical time for rescue, the first 72 hours, now closing.
Teams from more than two dozen countries now helping. Ukrainian President Zelensky visiting Britain and France, pushing for fighter jets to fight the Russian invasion. President Biden saying he has not spoken to China's president since the U.S. discovered and shot down a spy balloon. East Palestine Mayor Trent Conway says evacuated residents can safely return home 5 days after a train derailment and controlled burn of toxic chemicals.
The number one goal was public safety, and we accomplished that. Nobody was injured, nobody died, and there was very few injuries from the recovery process so far.
This is ABC News. A 51-year-old city bus driver in custody in Canada where police are investigating if he intentionally drove into a daycare center and killed two children, injuring six others. Well, just four more days until Super Bowl Sunday.
For the first time ever, a Super Bowl will have two black quarterbacks leading their teams. Focusing on diversity, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league has made great strides now with 11 quarterbacks who are black.
I think our game has changed because of their talents, and I think the game has changed on the college level. Also,
Goodell said still more needs to be done to diversify the league. Also, he said additional measures are needed to prevent concussions, especially on special teams, including looking at new helmet technology. Alex Stone, ABC News.
WNBA star Brittany Griner skipping USA basketball training camp in Minnesota. She's continuing to recover from her time in a Russian prison. Griner said she will play for Phoenix again this season, although she's still an unsigned free agent. Andy Field, ABC News.
People do some pretty.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today following up last night's State of the Union speech.
Unemployment rate is 3.4%, a 50-year low. Gas prices are down more than $1.50, and we're going to make sure the oil companies start playing their honest role. It's going to go down further. Inflation has fallen 6 months straight. Inflation is coming down. Take-home pay and workers is going up slightly. Manufacturing is rebounding.
He visited a union apprenticeship training center near Madison to highlight his jobs and economic plan. Governor Evers says the murder of a Milwaukee police officer yesterday was due to a failure to address gun violence. Republicans blame Milwaukee's approach to crime. In sports, Marquette lost to UConn last night, 87-72. Tonight, the Badgers try to get back in the win column at Penn State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What grows in the forest?
Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. There was a little speech. The president gave a little speech. In fact, lots of words. Lots of words. In fact, the most words in six decades. Yes, Joe Biden did something that I didn't think possible. More words than even Bill Clinton's 1995 speech. That remarkable. Beat him by a single word. 9,191 words were spoken by President Biden during the State of the Union. And look, you know, I got to steal from the former guy. I got to steal from Trump. They were the best words. They were good words. They were the best words. They were words that mattered. Uncle Joe was talking to the working class of this country. And it showed. Look, the snap polls afterwards, wildly popular speech with the American people. CNN did their flash poll. 72% approved positive reaction of Biden's speech. 71% of the speech watchers said his policies would move the country forward, move us in the right direction. And I completely agree, which is why I think Biden and the team needs to keep hammering. Been saying this now for his entire presidency. His wheelhouse, those economic issues in his wheelhouse, manufacturing, infrastructure, getting people back to work. That's the wheelhouse. Stay away from the device of the culture stuff that the right has already inflamed everyone over. Stick right where you want. And look, he didn't back up. He didn't back up at all, didn't waver at all on his economic plan. He was full head on working class hero. And what we got Uncle Joe, a genuine, good person, deeply cares about the country. That's what we got. Now, look, the thing that's interesting is you got, you know, everyone on the right virtually saying it was the most partisan. I love whenever this stuff happens because it's always they're the most liberal ever. They're the most partisan ever. They're the most fill in the extreme language ever. And look, Ted Cruz did his little video, and I said he probably recorded that before the speech. He didn't even have to go and read it. He knew what he was going to say because it's the outrage candy that has to be fed to the base. You can't agree with. And it's interesting. They booed in spots where you go, really? Infrastructure? You're going to boo that? Now, the interesting part is you got the GOP toddlers showed us something. They showed us that Kevin McCarthy does not have any control over his caucus. They made him look foolish during the State of the Union. They couldn't hold their water. He tried to potty train him. He tried to get him on board. He tried to get something. But not a thing. And they behaved like you would expect them to behave, like children. Yelling, screaming, carrying on. You lie! Yeah, okay. Reality is, the American people watched. And the American people saw a president who, good guy, cares about the country, cares about the direction, cares about the policies, cares about families. And his policies that, finally, they got to be touting this more. Because, and I think he did this during the speech, you know, reminding the audience, you know, his first two years, major accomplishments. And I've been saying, you know, if the former guy had any of those, we'd be bombarded with them. So they got to get out there and they got to be talking more about this. And he came out and he said, look, you know, we're not backing up. We're not cutting Social Security. We're not cutting Medicare. On this debt ceiling thing, you've got to pass this. And I thought that was important. Lay it out to the American people what that means. And look, laid out the 2023 agenda. We got to get things done. I think he connected with the junk fees stuff. Everybody I know angry over the fact that every time you turn around, you're being nickeled and dimed to death by corporate America. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's about time we start pulling back on some of that stuff. And, you know, the big thing is he really exposed how extreme the Republican opposition, how unreasonable they are, how nuts they can be. And the one part over the Social Security where Biden came out and said, look, a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. It's your dream. I'm going to have my veto pen to make it a nightmare. Great line. Republicans lost their mind. We would never do that. You know, I'd never say the thing that I always say. I'll never admit to the thing that I've always wanted. Andy Biggs, the representative, tweeted out Biden's speech last night further proves he's a serial liar. Not a single Republican wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Not a single? Not a single one? Hold on, wait a minute. That might be true. Maybe the wording, again, it's back to the wording. Got when you're dealing with lawyers, got to make sure that you get the words right. Not a single Republican wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's because they all do. So not one, all of them. And again, never say the thing that I actually say I believe in. Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, they've literally got him on video talking on the stump to prospective voters saying, this is my dream. I want to cut Social Security and Medicare. I want to do this. We've got to dismantle. That's why I'm running. It's the whole purpose he claims he's there for. But if you were to look, when they panned to his face, this, what, me? Oh, I would, no, not me. It's there on, can't lie. Rick Scott calls on the president to resign. He's like, resign. Rick Scott's the one who literally put it down on paper. His 11-point plan is all about destroying the federal government, destroying all programs, not just Social Security and Medicare, everything, wiping it all out. I mean, it's quite remarkable when you stop and you think about it. I mean, but this isn't new. Again, none of this stuff is new. This is who they are. It's what they've done. It's what they've wanted to do for years. They've told us, and they've told us, and they've told us. And then when they get called on it, no, not us. We would never do that. No, we love Granny. You know what's interesting? I say this all the time. Republicans hate working people. But they sure do love lying to working people. I mean, I go back to, you remember Paul Ryan? You know, former Speaker of the House, former vice presidential candidate. Do you remember him? Do you remember him saying that he and the people that he was talking to had been dreaming about cutting Medicaid, about, you know, cutting Medicare, about destroying these programs? How did he put it? Ever since we were drinking out of kegs? I mean, I got to tell you, you know, look, I did an awful lot of partying in college. And it showed badly. I was a great partier, not such a great student. But I can't imagine what kind of parties that they had. I can't imagine the party that Paul Ryan would go to, you know, with their Ayn Rand recitals, drinking out of a keg while wishing and hoping to destroy Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. What kind of, I'll bet you those are the people who were on the sidewalk with the magnifying glass burning ants as children. It's all I can think of. What kind of people do these have to be? But they don't want you to think, no, we would never do that. Trust us. We care about Granny. Biden's speech was an overwhelming success. Blew me away. Hit it out of the ballpark. And look, at the end of it, the American people, they see, they're starting to see, and this is where they got to pick it up. Now, what's interesting is the Republicans' rebuttal to that speech was, wow. You know, I questioned, you know, choosing Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I questioned why you would pick her. I get it, young woman, governor. When she tried to frame the battle as between normal and crazy, I think the entire country, even people who agree with her, were going, which are you? In this dystopian world that you're creating for us, you know, which side do you see yourself? Because the lunacy that comes out of her is, wow, scary. Now, she talked about the culture war, saying, oh, we didn't start this. No. She said, we're under attack in a left-wing culture war. Every day we're told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. Help? Sarah? Seriously? You're the guys who've been forcing your rituals, the flag, money, false idols. You're this folk. It's frightening to see the world. And as I watched her speech, I'm going, I wonder what she sees when she looks out the window. What kind of a horrible hellscape does she see this country as? We've got problems, yeah. But the economy's moving in the right direction, created over 500,000 jobs in January. Unemployment at the lowest rate that it's been in my lifetime. Are wages sufficiently high? No, we need to do something about that. And that's why I think organizing and joining unions and fighting for better wages, hours, conditions, that's a huge part of it. But this weird kind of bizarre, I don't know. It's frightening the world that they see. And when she said that, you know, she's the change maker, that should frighten every sane, rational voter. Because the world that they envision is a very, very ugly one. So I'm curious your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. What did you think of the speech? Was it good? Was it bad? Was the president talking to you? Did you hear something in that? You go, yeah, we do need to rebuild. Yeah, we do need to invest in the future. We do need to bring manufacturing back. Yeah, we do need to take on corporations and the grid. I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, this is something that's got my attention and should have every parent's attention in this country. Now, you've got the right who constantly talks about parental choice and how much they care about, how much they love the children and how they're pro-life and how we gotta help the children. It's all about the children. We love the children. And I was thinking about a comment made by Tom DeLay. I guess going back, I think like 2007. And that's important because that's about 16 years ago he said this. He was talking about abortion. He was talking about undocumented immigration. He said, I contend abortion affects you in immigration. If we had those 40 million children that were killed over the last 30 years, we wouldn't need illegal immigrants to fill the jobs that they're doing today. Now, again, I've always said they don't care about the children. They don't care about your families. They don't care about any of that stuff. They care about money. They care about greed. They care about corporate special interests. The goal of the elite leaders on the Republican side has never been concern for babies. They want poor and working class women to pump out as many exploitable labor units as possible. And here we are 16 years later, and the GOP championing cutting off all immigration. No immigration, stop it! And did that during the Trump years. And now they're complaining that no one wants the crappy jobs. So, now here's the thing. You got DeLay saying, oh, we need them babies because we need the cheap labor. You got Trump going, got to cut off that immigration. No immigration. You got now people screaming, got no cheap labor. So where do you think this is going? You guessed it. Got to put those kids to work. Those kids are lazy. All they do is sit around and play video games. Get them back to work. And I look at this bill that was just introduced in the Iowa legislature, and I don't know how Iowa lost its mind, but Senate File 167 is what it's called. It's going to allow 14 to 17-year-olds, to do all kinds of jobs, bagging groceries, which I'm for, carrying them to the cars, little clerical work, little stuff like that, doing some fast food work jobs, some of that stuff. But this goes even further. This then removes the prohibitions of 14 and 15-year-olds of working in freezers and meat coolers and a whole bunch of other things. So it's expanding what 14 and 15-year-olds can do. But here's the thing. This is the part that gets me. There are a couple of little pieces in here that are really scary. One of them would allow the Iowa Workforce Development and the State Department of Education. Now, listen to this. This is important. Would allow those two organizations, the government agency and the schools, to seek exemptions of any of the prohibitions on 14 to 17-year-olds. Any of them. So when we heard those stories of those kids working in the slaughterhouses and that there were fines and all that stuff going on, where do you think this is going? Now, here's where this gets interesting, because we're gonna create school to employer pipelines. We got to get kids ready to go to work. So we're going to get them into school. We're going to teach them how to use those meat cutters and those tools. And we're going to put them to work at 14, maybe even in mining. Who knows? Maybe we're going to put the kids back in the mines. Now you go, but Rick, we want kids to be able to learn some responsibility. And I do. My kids have all had jobs younger than I want them to, but they're doing that stuff. Heck, I had a paper route at 8. I had 2 paper routes by 9. You can cut grass, did all kinds of stuff. So I'm all for kids doing some work, being industrious, being entrepreneurial, making a little bit of money, all in favor of it. Here's the part that's scary to me. If the other part, the exemptions and creating this pipeline, aren't bad enough, because we know employers will abuse the you-know-what out of that. But this bill would shield businesses from all liabilities. It's going to exempt them from civil liability, so if the kid gets hurt, sorry, not our problem. Gets killed due to company negligence. Sorry, not our fault. When I read that, my mind went back to, that story from the mines. 100 years ago, if the kid got killed in the mine, and more than half of them did at younger ages, They take the kid home, throw the body against the door, and hey, you know, baby's home. Are we heading backwards? The fact that they're going to have immunity for employers tells me that workplaces are going to get much more dangerous. And this is scary stuff. Without question, scary, scary stuff. But predictable. This is who the Republicans are. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're hanging in there.
What's on your mind?
My maternal grandfather, his stepfather got ill when he was young. And he had to go to work in the coal mines when he was 12 years old and take care of the other. There was a grand total of, there was he and his brothers and sisters, the stepbrothers and sisters, and the half-brothers, for a grand total of 13 children. And he was 12 when he went to work in the mine.
Wow. No, I mean, the sad thing is they're taking us back there.
Yes, they are. And like you, I wonder, that they just live in this alternate universe somewhere. And you're listening to them spout their nonsense, and you're just sitting there with this glazed look in your eye. And I'm thinking to myself, and you expect us to try and reach a compromise to these people? That might work if it's just a difference of opinion, but when you have a different reality, that's not going to work.
No, and they also want to have 14-and-a-half-year-olds get special driver's license so they can drive to work.
Yeah, I don't think, it's just crazy. It's, you know, maybe 100 years ago, and I'm going to go this far and say that, say 100, 150 years ago, there was a difference in children, and they were more mature in some areas.
Yep.
And I say that because, you know, going on stories that I heard from my mom and dad and my aunt and uncles and all of them talking about, you know, when they were growing up. And maybe children were given little jobs to do at a younger age. And I'm not going to say that they were more mature in all ways, because they weren't. But I don't think today's children are going to go down and work in the coal mine and in these other areas and even understand the consequences that can follow.
Oh, no, these aren't going to be white kids. These are going to be the people that they bring in to do these jobs. They're just laying the groundwork. The first wave is going to be poor immigrant kids. We're going to start there, because you look at what happened in Iowa when they busted the meatpacking plants with all those teenagers and you know, 12, 13, 14-year-olds in the kill floors. And then going, you know, working overnight, and then going to school in the morning. That's who this is aimed at. They just want to shield them from liability on those fronts. And then when things get desperate enough, then it's everybody else's kids.
Well, I agree with you. First, it will be the immigrant children, and then once they get their little dream list going of getting rid of the safety net. Then it's going to be all the very poor children.
Yep.
But it's just crazy. And by the way, I love Biden's speech last night. But you have a good evening, Rick.
Thanks so much, Alice. Appreciate it. No, the reality is what Republicans want to do is repeal the 20th century. Been saying that for the longest time. They want to take away Social Security, Medicare, all labor laws, all worker safety laws. They, again, Rick Scott's 11-point plan, do away with it all. And then, you know, what we think should be reinstated, we will do. Trust me, they want to repeal the 20th century and take us back to the good old days of the 80s and 90s, and not the 1980s and 90s. They want to take us back to the era where kids had to go down into the mines. They want to take us back to the days where workers had to work in desperate conditions for poverty wages, because there was nothing else. There is nothing good in this kind of legislation. But you know what? Interestingly enough, it's popping up in a lot of places. The war on children is not on the left. The war on children is in the right. The folks who, we got to get those kids to work. It's not about what they're telling you. Look behind the curtain. I want to hear your thoughts. You think it's a good idea for 14, 15-year-olds to work in dangerous conditions? You think? You okay with that? I want to hear it. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you download
The Show.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Three U.S. citizens confirmed among the more than 12,000 victims of the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria. ABC's Ian Panel says rescuers still hoping to find survivors.
As another freezing night sets in, hopes are fading tonight of finding many more survivors in the rubble. The most critical time for rescue, the first 72 hours, now closing.
Teams from more than two dozen countries now helping. Ukrainian President Zelensky visiting Britain and France, pushing for fighter jets to fight the Russian invasion. President Biden saying he has not spoken to China's president since the U.S. discovered and shot down a spy balloon. East Palestine Mayor Trent Conway says evacuated residents can safely return home 5 days after a train derailment and controlled burn of toxic chemicals.
The number one goal was public safety, and we accomplished that. Nobody was injured, nobody died, and there was very few injuries from the recovery process so far.
This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. In the race for the 8th Senate District being vacated by Senator Alberta Darling, three Republicans are facing off in the February 21st primary. A national Republican group working to support re-elections of GOP members who voted to impeach former President Trump is out with ads criticizing State Representative Janelle Branchon. Branchon used her position on the Assembly Elections Committee to promote baseless conspiracy theories about the Wisconsin election system. She is facing State Representative Dan Nodal and Thiensville Village President Van Motley in the February 21st primary. The winner will go on to face Jody Habesh-Sinikin of Whitefish Bay. President Biden stopping in Wisconsin today at a training center north of Madison, highlighting his jobs plan. The president delivered the State of the Union address last night. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left. It's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there in the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
To the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, I got to tell you, I go back to this. I go back to this story from Iowa, and it's one of these things that the fact that they're talking about taking any liability away from corporations when they're pushing these kids into dangerous jobs is just remarkable to me. And it takes me back to this moment where you go back to the Lochner era, where the Supreme Court used this idea of liberty of contract to say, you know what, if you're desperate enough and you're hungry enough to work in deplorable conditions for poverty wages, that's your liberty of contract. They were able to strike down minimum wage laws, maximum hour laws. They were able to basically keep workers in their place because of this liberty of contract doctrine. And this is where the Supreme Court, I believe, eventually will take us back to. We're going to change the wording a little bit. It's not going to be liberty of contract. It'll be freedom. Freedom. Because you've got the freedom to send your children to work in the slaughterhouses. You'll have the freedom to send your children to work in dangerous conditions. Because, hey, we're going to bring the schools into this. And won't that be great? There'll be that school pipeline right into corporate America and then shield them from liability. This is really quite remarkable when you stop and let it sink in. Now, it's not new, because you may remember, during the pandemic, you had Mitch McConnell, saying that before we do anything on the COVID front, we've got to shield corporations from liability. And what we found is, if you look at, we didn't do it, but the companies, there were a couple of companies that were betting on how many people they could get sick. So do you feel comfortable giving these kind of shields to these corporations? Because the bottom feeders are going to do the worst things, and there's going to be nobody to hold them accountable because we deregulation, job-killing regulations, Rick, remember? And you go, but, these kids need to learn skills. They need, yeah, I agree. I 8 years old, I had my first paper route. 9 years old, I had two. I cut grass, I shoveled driveways. I did all kinds of stuff as a kid. I want kids to be able to do that, but this idea that we're now putting them back into 14 and a half year olds being able to get driver's license so they can get to work, this is all the wrong directions. So when Sarah Huckabee Sanders talks about normal versus crazy, this, folks, this is crazy. The fact that anybody's talking about this, insane. The fact that you would bring this up, absolute lunacy. But again, not surprising. If you look at what the Republicans have done, and the reason I say Republicans hate working people, just look at what they do. They want to take us back to that Lochner era. They want to take us back to the time when, well, again, you're desperate enough, you're hungry enough, you get hurt on the job, it's your fault. No more workers' compensation. We need to learn the history. Now, again, you think about what the Lochner era was, and real quick, there was the New York Bake Shop Act back in 1905 that said we're going to cap the maximum hours for workers in the bakery industry at 60 hours, I believe it was. And Joseph Lochner, the guy who took this to the Supreme Court, said, no, I want to work my people 100 hours, and it's my liberty to do that, and it's their liberty to be exploited enough to have to work 100 hours. And the court said, yeah, we're not going to get in the middle of that. That's between the employer and the employee. That's between the, as Pennsylvania labor law still, or workers' comp law still points out, between the master and the servant. It wasn't until the 30s that we got a Supreme Court that said, no, we can actually have maximum hour laws. We can actually make sure that we don't exploit people beyond a certain amount of hours. And they put just a small punishment to it, time and a half. We don't even max out hours. And for me, this is, again, one of those moments that I think is really important to pay attention to what they're doing, not what they're saying. Same thing with the State of the Union address. Republicans, oh, my God, I would never cut social. Not me. No, I would never touch Social Security, even though I've got a video of you saying the only reason I ran was to steal your Social Security and destroy Medicare. Again, don't accuse me of the things that I said. Watch what they do. I got lots more to get to. Want to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1974. That was the day that a three-man American astronaut crew returned to Earth from an 84-day mission at the Skylab. They were the first crew to spend so long in low Earth orbit up until that time. The crew also returned with a different kind of first. They had launched the first space strike in history. The all-rookie crew was scheduled for an arduous work schedule at the space station. When one member fell ill, they began to fall behind schedule on their long list of tasks. From the ground, NASA Mission Control urged them to catch up by working through meals and scheduled rest times. Tensions mounted as the three men were monitored at every moment. The commander of the trip tried to explain the crew's exhaustion, saying, "On the ground, I don't think we would be expected to work 16 hours a day for 85 days, and so I really don't see why we should even try to do it up here." 6 weeks into the trip, the Skylab 4 crew had had enough. They turned off the communication radio connecting them to Earth. They took an unscheduled day off. When the communication link came back on, the commander issued the group's demands, saying, "We need more time to rest. We need a schedule that's not so packed. We don't want to exercise after a meal. We need to get things under control." NASA agreed to stop pushing so hard. The first space strike was over, and the mission went forward on better terms.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So again, I'm looking at Tennessee. And again, love the children. Love the children. The Speaker of the House in Tennessee, a guy named Cameron Sexton, he says that the state should stop accepting federal education funding. No K through 12 federal education money. And is interesting, his idea, because he wants to stop educating low-income students, English learners, and students with disabilities. He said, basically, we'll be able to educate the kids how Tennessee sees fit. Now, I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that. There really is. There's a lot there that makes you go, exactly what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, back in the mines? Does that mean back in the factories? Does that mean we're literally, because understand, the cry from the right has been throughout the Biden administration is that, people are lazy. They're not going to come off the sidelines. There are too many people out of the workforce. I get it all the time. I say, unemployment rate's lower than it's ever been in my lifetime, 3.4%. And the first thing is, participation rates are down. And you go, yeah, you know why? Boomers are retiring. This has been coming for, 70 years. Boomers are retiring. They've had enough. They're able to take their Social Security and their retirement, and they're ready to go. And a lot of them, went when the stock market was high. I remember telling people when the stock market was high, going, "Hey, you should go now, because this is the best time. Because it's got to correct itself. It's got to come down. Wall Street's going to do what they do, crash things. The Fed is going to do what they do, raise interest rates and make things worse. And it's what they're doing. They're trying to correct. They're trying to correct." So when their hair is on fire, oh my gosh, inflation. Yeah, inflation is a real problem for everybody. And the reason we have such high inflation, corporate greed, massive amounts of corporate greed. If you look at their earnings reports, oh my goodness, they are lining their pockets like never before. The oil companies, record profits. And that's saying something when you're talking about the oil companies, because they've been gouging us for decades. But now everybody's gotten into the game. Everybody's gouging us. And they're using the excuse of, it's a supply chain. And I agree, we've got supply chain issues, which is why we need to reshore manufacturing. And if you listen to the president's speech, guess what he was talking about? That's right, he was talking about reshoring manufacturing and some of the successes we've already had. But I come back to this Tennessee guy. We're going to educate kids how Tennessee sees fit. So they're going to leave $1.8 billion in federal money on the table. And who are they going to take it out on? We already know. They're going to take it out on the poor. They're going to take it out on the disabled. They're going to take it out on the most vulnerable because this is what they do. Do you think they're going to take it from Sarah Huckabee Sanders and their clan? No. Do you think you're going to take it from Bill Lee, the governor? You think you're going to take it from any of the folks who, well, are the upper crust? No, of course not. They're going to take it from poor and working class kids. And what does that mean? That means, well, that opportunity that we were going to have to get ahead, now that pathway is going to be gone. And then maybe they'll take up a bill like you see in Iowa. We're going to have a pipeline, get those kids jobs, get them to work. And get them to work young. And, you know, 14 is the number now. When does it get down to 13? When does it get down to 12? When do we get down to the 8-year-olds again? When do we start sending the 8-year-olds back into the mines? Because the weird thing is, and this is the twisted part of all this, you've got the Newt Gingriches of the world saying we should fire the union janitors and make those kids clean the bathrooms. Because again, it's all about cheap labor. It's not about any of the policy aims that they claim. Oh, we care about the children. Nonsense. They care about exploitable labor. They care about screwing over working people. There's nothing new here. There's nothing new in this. And this is why I'm frustrated in this moment, because I don't think we're seeing enough of the outrage that I would expect from parents. Because again, the outrage machine on the right is fantastic. You got to give them credit. They know how to gin up the fear. They know how to ramp up the anger. They know how to get in people's head. You know, they're teaching that theory. You look at Sarah Huckabee. She gave that response to the president's incredible speech. I'm going to lay out my education plan. And what is her education plan? It's all about destroying public education, unlimited charter schools, the ability of people. We're just going to have kids moving all around the place. Will there be any quality in this? I doubt it, because it's not about education. It's about profit. It's about taking away that public good. It's about privatizing that public good, putting into the hands of Education Incorporated. It's about the cheap labor. And do you think these charter schools are going to care about, you know, how well you, to steal a Bushism, you think they're going to care? Is your children learning? No. We can keep them just functional enough to run those machines, just functional enough to do those menial tasks. We can get them into the workforce, drive down labor costs. Conservative utopia. And they won't blink an eye. Now, what we're doing in this country is really, really frightening, because when Sarah Huckabee said, you know, she's the change maker, her and her ilk are the change makers. Do you think the changes they're going to make are positive? And who are they making them for? This is really the concern of the moment. And unless we, rational, sane people, step up and defend this, they're going to keep dividing us. And unless we fight back, you know, you talk to teachers, and I do. No one's teaching critical race theory. Nobody. They don't even really understand it. But they're being attacked with it. Politicians like her and Youngkin and others, they're attacking them with it. Saying, oh, how much they love teachers, how much they care about education. And then, well, sorry, tough luck. You're groomers. How much bigger of a groomer can you be than saying, we're going to take 14-year-old, put him to work in a factory? It's kind of scary. Want to hear your thoughts, though. 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Now, the president did, in his State of the Union address, hit something I thought was really important. The PRO Act, again, we've been talking about this for a long time. Hit it, and I've been saying this for years, that Democrats, you need to adopt a worker. You've heard me say this a bunch of times. Adopt a striker, adopt a worker, you know, take them to dinner with you, walk in their shoes, walk their picket lines. Well, we had two representatives here in Pennsylvania who did just that, Representative Summer Lee and Representative Chris DeLuzio. They both took workers, one from the Pennsylvania Hospital Workers Rising Organization and also one from the Post-Gazette strike. And highlighting the fact that we need worker voices and people who are going to stand up for workers. So good on them. It's about time. It's about time. And as I said, the president leaned heavily into those working issues that we've been talking about for so long here on the program. If you remember the Working Class Heroes radio tour, if you remember us going through Wisconsin, going through Iowa, going through Michigan, going through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, you remember us going through those places. We were talking to people on the ground, and they were telling us, this is what matters to us. You know, we used to be something. We used to be someone. We used to manufacture stuff. We were known for something. It was their identity. And Biden hit on that last night. Biden hit on the fact that, you know, we need to revive that. Rebuild, revive, reunionize. It's what we need to be doing in a big, big way. And the investments that they've made are moving us in that direction. But the fact that there were people who took workers to that, to me, that's important. Now, again, I look at some of the clown show on the other side who couldn't hold their water, who, you know, just, yeah, incredibly disrespectful. What did they bring? They brought division. That speech that the president gave was not divisive. He was talking about meat and potatoes, butter issues, kitchen table stuff, making lives better. And yet the social medias, wow, quite interesting. So for me, this idea of passing the PRO Act, giving workers the ability to fight for better wages, hours, and conditions, solves some of our problems. That inflation thing that everyone keeps complaining about, I go back to my grandparents' generation. My grandparents lived through that stagflation era of the 70s. When they bought their house in the 1960s for, you know, I think they paid like $16,000 for their house. By the end of the 70s, their mortgage was a day's pay. And you go, well, how'd that happen? Well, it happened because my grandparents were both union members. Both of their contracts had cost of living adjustments. So as inflation went up, wages went up. So that their standard of living did not get eroded. My grandfather, the one year, he told me, he said it was at least three, possibly four raises he got in 1 year because inflation was getting out of control. And look, inflation is a problem, but not so much of a problem when wages aren't rising. And this, again, comes back to the power of the labor movement to negotiate those contracts, to make sure that a fair share of the profits is being distributed down to the people who actually create it. Because, again, I go back to, look at their earnings calls. You know, we had the folks on from the Democracy Collaborative, or the Groundwork Collaborative, who said, look, you know, we listened to all their earnings calls, and they're making record profits. But they're not sharing it with the workers. We're seeing these massive stock buybacks, enormous sums of money being sucked out of businesses, enormous amounts of profit that should be going to wages, should be going to better benefits, should be going to new equipment, should be going to anything but enriching the handful at the very top. Because again, you look at these stock buybacks, they're really the white flag. It's the wealthy saying, you know what, I know we told you we're the smart ones. I know trickle-down theory is that you give us all the money and we're smart. We know what to do with it. And some will come down to you maybe. I know that's what it says, but no, we're not. We're not going to share. That's them admitting they've got no productive use for the money that we've given them massive tax breaks for. They've got no ideas, no vision, no investment opportunity, nothing. It's all about, hey, how can I enrich myself? And again, I come back to the simple fact that it's the working people on the ground. It's those people who show up every day and do the job day in, day out, who make the widgets and whatnots, who take care of the patients in the hospitals and nursing homes, who deliver the packages, who all of that, who teach our children, who do all of this stuff, they're the ones who make this country go. Not the handful of billionaires that we heap massive reward to. And it's frustrating because the weird thing is, and I think we're in a Stockholm Syndrome kind of moment, Because when you go on the social media things, and again, reality being social media is not society. Social media is just a bunch of people being the worst versions of themselves. But when you talk to actual people, they get they're getting screwed. They get the system's rigged against them. They get their opportunities are being diminished. They get the fact that they're stuck in jobs that they don't want to do because, hey, healthcare is impossible to get. Or, hey, I don't know what's around the corner because the next job can be just as bad or if not worse. This, again, is where I think Joe Biden killed it during the speech because he was relatable. You knew that guy behind the microphone cared and talked about policies and how we're going to make things better, how we're going to move forward. You know, he's a much better person than I am because I'd have gotten stuck into the grievance. I'd have got stuck in, you no good for nothings over there. But that's, again, why I'm not a politician. He went out with a very positive speech, a very positive vision, and stuck to his guns. He could have done a pivot. He could have said, oh, well, we lost the House. Oh, well, woe is us. You know, we're gonna do this. We're going to compromise this. You know, what Democrats of the past have done. Joe didn't do that. Joe said, this is the path. Come on over here on the path with us. Let's get this stuff moving. Finish the job was the line. And I thought, brilliant. Finish the job. Finish what was started. Finish building our infrastructure. Now, understand, you know, $1.3 trillion they spent on infrastructure or they're spending over the next couple of years. The American Society of Civil Engineers says, well, we need about triple that, quadruple that. I think it was, what did they say, $4.6 trillion last year? So it's got to be well over $5 trillion this year. And that's just to get to functional. That's just to get things good. That's not state-of-the-art world leading. But hey, it's a start. And this is where the olive branch. Let's work together. Let's finish the job. We're bringing manufacturing back. Everybody's for that. Look, you know, when Trump said it, I was all on board. Trump talked about infrastructure. In fact, I said the day that he took office, if he passes an infrastructure bill tomorrow and a manufacturing policy, we start moving down this road, he will be unbeatable for a second term. If he stays on those bread and butter issues that got him elected. Of course, he didn't because he'd never had a plan. There was never any substance. I mean, he talked the talk and then talked and talked and talked and talked some more and tweeted and talked and tweeted and tweeted and talked, but didn't have any follow-up. Lots of photo ops. Lots of, hey, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. But no real policy. There was nothing to back it up. No substance. We now have a president who's not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. Because we're getting stuff done. And the fact that you brought the woman from Cincinnati to talk about that bridge, that Brent Spence Bridge, that is a major economic throughway from Cincinnati to Kentucky, replacing that which has been needed to be replaced for decades. That was huge. The fact that he's talking about, you know, the tunnel in New York and in Maryland and all of the projects that, and today being in Madison, Wisconsin, talking about jobs, he's got to get out there and do more of this. Because reality is, you look at the polling after that speech, 72% of the people who watched it said that speech will get us on the right track. What he's talking about will put us on the right track. That's a big deal. So when the Republicans talk about, well, it was the most partisan speech ever. Well, you know what? If it's that partisan, I'll be on the partisan side of the 72%. Because in this country, when 72% of people agree with something, and you're in the minority, you are certainly on the wrong side of an issue. So all in all, I think moving, and look, over the next several months, if the Fed doesn't crash the economy, I think you're going to see things get better as the infrastructure bills and people get back to work and the reverberation effect of that money through the economy starts ramping up. You're going to see, you know, prices come down. You're going to see wages going up. You're going to see positive stuff. And it should be right before the 2024 election. So, yeah, there is that. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Lots more to get to. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.